T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's OMF on EEI.
I just think they've lost their confidence. I think Brown and Tatum have lost confidence in their teammates to hit shots. I think Kemba Walker has lost confidence in his ability to score, although he was able to score 14 in the fourth quarter. I don't think that there's some, that like there's malcontents in the roster or anything like that. I just think this team lacks confidence. They lack the chemistry. They're fine. It just isn't working.
Other than that, they look great in those city uniforms, don't they? They're terrific. I can't stand them, by the way, where they put both Boston and Celtics on the front. I don't know about you guys. To me, they do nothing for me. So,
You're just old school.
No, I actually like the new ones. Like they were knocking the Miami ones last night on TV. I love those Miami ones with the pink and it all kind of changes colors and whatever.
What do you call that? I've never really been infatuated with uniforms and the colors and the the different combinations.
Did a whole show one day where you were talking about uniforms. No, you did.
I did.
Yes.
When was that?
It was like a couple years ago. You were talking about uniforms. You did this.
I have no idea. You were talking about a different show and a different.
No, we were talking about the old Patriot uniforms compared to the new ones.
I did a whole show on that.
Well, a whole show. We did an hour, maybe. We talked about
the Gary Washburn sandwich.
Relax. Gary Washburn's 100% correct. And that's why I said to you before that I thought the criticism of Tatum Brown is unfair. They're two very good players. They're trying to figure out their own games, especially Jaylen Brown, who's taken his offensive game to another level. And Tatum still trying to kind of get his footing underneath him as who he is in this league. They have absolutely nothing around them. They have an inconsistent Kemba Walker. That's it.
So what they do,
nothing around them that can hit a shot.
Okay, they have Kemba Walker, and Kemba Walker's not getting it done. So they have no confidence in Kemba. I get it. I understand it.
I actually think they do. Here's the alternative. He's not hot right now, but nobody else. Give me one other guy in that team you have confidence in. One other guy.
Well, Pritchett, you should have confidence in Pritchett.
Pritchett? Are you kidding
Why?
Me, man?
You should have some.
A rookie.
There are rookies all over the league. You just talked about Sadiq Bey. He just brought up Sadiq Bey.
What a bad team. I mean, you're talking about good teams. The first person you said is Peyton Pritchard. We all like Peyton Pritchard, but he is not someone right now you count on at all.
Lou,
at all.
You have to.
Neesmith, Ogele?
What Tatum is doing is he's holding onto the ball.
Who's he going to give it
Brown
to?
Jaylen Brown is holding onto
Who's
the ball.
Who's he going to give it
to? What does Perk call that? What does he call it?
Hero ball.
Hero ball.
My turn, basketball.
My hero ball. Well, right?
Who are they going to give it to?
You got to give it up.
To who?
Do you move it around so you can get it back?
To who?
You give it up so you can get it back.
Oh, okay.
That's what you do.
Okay, that's good. That serves it. So just give it up so you can get it back.
That's what great players do.
Okay. Yes.
That's what great players do. They give the ball up. They go without the ball, and they get the ball back, Lou.
Yeah,
they do.
They also give it to guys who can shoot.
Right back to you. Okay.
I know people don't want to criticize Tatum and Brown. But I think part of the problem is Tatum and Brown right now, and certainly Kemba Walker. He's a major problem with this team. Who's going to be the guy that's going to be the facilitator? Who's going to give the ball up?
Do you want those guys to give the ball up?
Yes.
They're scorers.
No,
you're blaming them for Danny Ainge not putting a facilitator on this roster.
Lou, when they're one-on-one with a player, they can take a one-on-one off the dribble. They can back off. They're trapping Tatum and Brown from the get-go. They know that Kemba Walker can't beat them. They know nobody else can. So the only way you can open up Tatum and Brown to the offense is for them to give the ball up and get the ball back. Go without the ball. Release that double team. Release that trap. They're not going to trap you if you don't have the freaking ball. They got to do something.
What stood out to me, it was funny because these two guys, it will be interesting to see how much criticism they take over the next I don't know, you know, 2 months if this continues. Because based on what Washburn said, it's like, listen, yeah, you almost can't use, hey, but they're all-stars. It's almost they don't have that all-star responsibility. They have the tag because they're reserves and they made the all-star team, but they're too young. They don't have any help. Like, he just listed all these other teams, you know, out of the six teams that have that two or more all-star players, they're all top six teams in the league, but they all have other players that are helping them out. And the Celtics, too, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, do not.
Christian, the Celtics are 28th in assist in the league. There's no, you don't move the ball.
Drive, kick, move the ball.
The ball becomes stagnant.
That would be called what? What do they need?
Scalabrine was talking about that last night after the game, and he's 100% correct.
Okay, so my
there's
point
no
is that
flow to this offense.
If you are not,
it is two guys, and it's easy to over focus if you're the defense on two guys.
So if you are not, so if Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, as young as they are, because they're just kids, right? They're not old adults. They don't have any facial hair. Yeah, they do, but we're gonna act like they're not adults. So if you're not gonna blame them, even though they're all stars. Then you have to blame Mad Brad, who never gets mad, or Danny Ainge.
The roster's not strong enough or deep enough, and I'm not a believer that you need 10 or 11 players. By the way, Brooklyn unloaded 3 players today. Why? Because they don't matter, and they're going to pick somebody else up for their roster. They're opening up roster spots. Danny can dump Javonte Green today. Okay, today they have to make a decision on him. I would dump him.
How about this?
And find somebody else.
How about the Danny Ainge Patriot analogy that Washburn gave us? Like Danny Ainge is almost even though they haven't won anything and they have no credibility based on how long it's been since they actually won a championship, that they're walking around like, oh, we're going to do what we do no matter what you say. And we have a long history of doing what we're doing, and we're not going to change. We're not going to deviate from our plan. We have a plan, and that's the other thing. So the plan is to switch. That's our defense. We're going to switch. Okay, well, when you realize that it's not working, why don't you just change the plan? Why are you so stubborn,
Christian?
So that's it. That is
Javonte
not
a Green or let's say a Tremont Waters. It's some type of like patriot, like we know better than you guys, so we're just going to stick to what we do. But the Patriots did that, won 6 Super Bowls. Like the Celtics haven't won a title in 13 years. So the we know better than all you other guys mentality needs to stop.
Too much dead weight.
I disagree with him on that one because you do have guys that can defend. Ojale can defend. Okay, Grant Williams can defend. All right, Williams certainly is quick enough off of switches. They got back into that game because they were switching on the pick and roll and they shut down Luka. Okay, he made 2 phenomenal shots at the end. The next to the last one, he had to dribble around and almost lost control of the ball, okay? Because they were playing such good defense on him. Switching on the pick and roll.
Glenn, this is an awful defensive basketball team.
I wouldn't say it's awful. That's not true. It's not good. Well, but it's not awful.
Well, I mean, compared to what we've seen,
the fourth quarter, how do you think they got back in the game last night, Lou?
Glenn, you're talking about Luka. One game. This whole thing, like they shut down Luka, like he was doing a lot of damage, you know, in this game. They got back into it as what Kemba hit like a bank 3, you know what I mean? Then they hit shots down the stretch.
That, I believe
that they hit shots down the stretch. So I mean, they hit 3s.
Now it was their defense that got them back into the game. They were making stops out there. That's what they were doing.
I don't think this team can stop anyone when they need to.
And it was I'm not saying they're a good defensive team, but
they're not a good defensive team.
I think we're focusing on the wrong stuff when we're sitting there going they're switching. You know, because they don't do it all the time.
They do it all the time. It's their philosophy. What are you talking about? You got a basketball player in their team saying that's their system. That's what they do.
They don't do it
all
Jaylen the time.
Brown,
they do it against certain teams. That's correct. And they did it last night. There's no question about it. They did it last night.
So Jaylen Brown's lying. So
they don't do it every
night. The
system
isn't switching. It's what we do.
Every night. They don't do it every night. They change up depending on who they're playing, Lou.
Situational basketball.
You're going to change up how you defend depending on the skill set of the players that you're playing.
And they give it up way too often in my mind.
It's not a system that you play every single night, and this is how we play. You change up based on who you're playing.
Again, but at the end of the game, if at that point in time the system is the switch, would you say that last night's system was the switch?
It was.
Okay. Let's not do it right now with 1 minute left. Let's take our best defender and put him on
Christian,
their best offensive player.
Christian, let me ask you this question. You're in the fourth quarter of a football game. You're running the ball at will down the throat of the defense, and you keep on running. You're getting 7-8 yards at every single play because you're running the football. Do you suddenly say, I'm going to stop running now?
Yeah,
we're going to throw the football. They were being successful
by
switching off the pick and roll.
That's too broad of an example.
No, it isn't. It's exactly what they were doing.
I would add to it, okay, now it's 4th and 1. Now you're inside the 10.
I'm running.
Your philosophy or your play selection may need to be readjusted based on situation, time, and everything.
Three of your offensive linemen got hurt.
Yeah, and so like it's not
shots,
like it's an overall your analogy. Your analogy. See, so okay, just tip your hat. Tip your hat to him. You know what? It was your turn tonight. It was your turn.
Do you
My
know
thing
Washburn,
is, it should never have gotten to that point in the first place.
Washburn brought up a great point, and what was a real problem for them is they got themselves into the bonus situation early in the fourth quarter, and what killed them there is they did not have a foul to give at the end. Dallas did. They were able to use it effectively at the end. Boston did not. That was a killer because you could have, when you got into trouble with Luka, you could have committed that foul. It would have been another inbounding situation. It would have given you a chance to reset to defend.
Yeah, I know, and they're in the foul trouble because they're a bad defensive basketball team right now. And they committed stupid, lazy, dumbass fouls to put themselves in that spot the last 7.5 minutes. So they're just, to me, it goes back, it's big picture. We could debate all day long why they stopped Luka. That's not the point. The point is that you've got two All-Stars that are now starting to take some heat, and I don't think it's fair because I don't think, like he said, they don't trust anybody. You got Kemba Walker, who's inconsistent. I mean, what was it, Chris Mannix the other day with us? Said he was talking about Josh Reddick, and he's like, I don't believe guys that can shoot, just forget how to shoot.
J.J.
Reddick. I agree with him, and I think Kemba's going to shoot. The only question to me is his knee. Right now, he's probably one of your biggest issues because he's not being the third scorer and you need it. Big picture, there's nobody else. You want to move the ball just so you can get the ball back.
Yeah, like, I think
that's
there are other
saying.
Things like, you can do. I think you can
move it to get it back. How about move it to get open to hit a guy that's wide open to hit a shot?
I think when they're doubling and they're willing to put another body on Tatum and you've got a Tice going to the rim, you can throw the ball up above the rim for Tice. Yes, there are other things you can do. I'm not saying you do it for the whole game. You do it to relieve the pressure. You don't do it so that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum can get all of their points. Yes, they're going to get the points, but you open up things for yourself when you start dishing the ball off. They don't do that anymore. They hold on to the ball.
See,
that is a legitimate criticism of those two players.
Well, I would say if you didn't think they were exposed and they had warts, well, then I would say that it's obvious that they do. And I would say the next question is it fixable? If you're lacking confidence and you're not trusting your other teammates, how do you trust them? Unless you give them an opportunity to prove you wrong.
Fixable to what point? They're not a championship.
Oh God,
contender.
No.
They're first round
no.
and out.
So
really,
you shouldn't be upset at all, because if you were one of the few who said, "Hey, this is a championship team right now," then of course you're probably pulling your hair out, going, "What the hell is going on?"
No, the problem I have with them is they were a cute team. They're not even that cute team anymore. They're not in the conversation. All right, to the talking about conversation to the phone calls. Eddie's in New Hampshire. Hello, Eddie.
How you doing?
Good, Eddie.
Hey, Glenn, exactly. Back in the days with Bird, those guys, five guys touched the ball before he went in the ball, went in the net.
Who'd they have? Who played with Bird? Are those guys any good?
It's all rotation.
Yeah,
it's all
I know.
Rotation.
Who played with Bird?
They rotate the ball. You had Parrish,
yep.
Ainge,
yep.
All those guys. They rotated
DJ,
the ball.
Parrish,
everybody
all Hall of Famers.
The ball.
Yep. Shemmy.
Yeah, you don't just have one guy focus on.
You know, at Hickory High School, you pass the ball six times before you could shoot.
The point is that he was surrounded by Hall of Famers. He moved the ball and hit the open guy because he's confident he's going to hit a shot. You move the ball to Shemmy in the corner, you're like, damn.
They don't
He'll
move
hit
the ball.
A shot. Oh, Grant Williams.
Sorry. Oh,
well,
oh. Move the ball.
Daniel Tice.
Got to get guys off. Got to get guys off the shooter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rotate it.
I agree. That's what you have to do. Open it up. And the ball will come back to those guys, but it'll come back with single coverage instead of them constantly being trapped and
Here's
holding
the
ball or fighting through it.
Nobody is saying they don't need to move the ball. They obviously do. Everyone's been saying it. Scal, on a broadcast, everyone, Max, you name it. There isn't a person in the city that doesn't feel like they don't have to move the ball. My point is that they have nobody on this roster that those kids, Tatum and Brown, feel confident moving the ball to. Nobody. And to the point where even Brad Stevens, who the guy has been their sixth man for the last week and a half, and Aaron Nesmith plays 22 minutes, doesn't take a shot. He's down 10. He puts Nesmith in. Why? Because he's a great shooter, and he doesn't take a shot because he's out there with grown-ups or adults, the starting lineup, and he's probably intimidated to take a shot. Yeah, this is the guy he's turning to down 10 late in the game to get him back into the game.
I think you're bailing out the two stars on this team. That's what I think you're doing. Oh,
I think you're giving them too much blame.
I think you're bailing them out. I look at all of these other rosters that they're playing. This is not that they're getting beat by the Phillies and the Milwaukees and the Brooklyns and the great teams. Nope, we're talking about the trash teams. We're talking about the Detroits. We're talking about New Orleans. We're talking about a Dallas team that hasn't been real good. They're losing against teams that have similar rosters to them.
Why is Dallas so bad if they got Lucas?
Because they got injuries. They got no Porzingis. They have no height out there right now. Here's Phil in Maine. Hello, Phil.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, so there's no friggin' offensive sets. Like you guys said, it's hero ball. It's very frustrating to watch. I get that these guys don't trust their teammates. But you got to trust somebody. I don't think they're listening to Brad Stevens. I don't think they even really care about how he coaches. There's no perimeter defense. There's nothing. I mean, it almost seems like we have Jackie Moon as a head coach. I'm going to be really worried. I'm going to be seriously concerned if Danny Ainge is out at halftime with one of these fans doing a halftime shot with a big check in his hand.
Right back to you.
Getting ridiculous.
You got it? No, right back. No. Right back. No, right back out. All right.
See, that's what you need. Jackie Moon basketball.
Yep, that's what it feels like.
And a big check that you can't cash.
Exactly. Why can't you cash those big checks?
Well, they don't make envelopes big enough.
I mean, you can do it online.
Can't even
right
endorse
now.
It. You got a mobile deposit. Yeah. You got to take a big picture of it.
Well, then you could deposit it, right? If you do that. This hour of OMF brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Should Brad Stevens still have a job? We'll get to that. Plus, we'll give you an update on what's going on with Tiger Woods. All right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back to more Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier.
Bring it back.
Would you even consider listening to anything else?
No.
OMF.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
We'll be right back.
It's not like you want to overreact and start pointing the finger at one person or a couple of guys or even saying it's Brad, but when it comes down to it, when guys are not competing and putting together 48 minutes, you have to, it has to circle back to Brad because, look, I'm watching other coaches go ballistic on the sideline when things are not working out, when guys are missing defensive coverages, when guys are not moving the ball. Brad is just so calm, and maybe that's just his demeanor, but right now it's not time to be calm. And it is actually time to panic.
I love Perk. He's really interesting because he'll just throw it out there. Listen. But when he says you don't have to overreact, he's the biggest overreactor of them all. Matter of fact, he makes stuff up from night to night just to make his freaking point. I mean, last night at one point, I think it was at the end of the game, he came out and he was basically saying, I'm watching the sideline, Abby. And when I watch the sideline and the Celtics do something good, none of the guys get excited. And I went, you know, rewound, and I said, I got to go and check this out. That wasn't the case. They were reacting. Even Brad Stevens was getting excited on the sideline with the comeback.
Well, he's been listening too much to Cam Newton then.
Yeah, I think he's just making stuff up. A few nights ago, he said they don't need to get a big. Tristan Thompson has proven that he can do it. Really? Last night, he had a different story. They need a big. So, but I love him. He'll throw stuff out there. So, have they tuned out Brad Stevens? That's his latest. They've tuned him out.
Well, he actually corrected that. He didn't say he tuned him out. He said, I just don't think they fear him. Right? And I think
tuning him out, though.
That was, did he say that in this one here? Did he talk about the role players? This was another interesting thing. I don't know if he said it there.
But I'm watching role players do things that other role players on other teams don't do. Like, you know, I'm watching Tristan Thompson hustle and get offensive rebounds, and there's three people around him. And yes, at times he may muscle and go back up, but it's so many guys that are open on the perimeter and not kicking it out. I'm also watching guys, you know, like Daniel Tice tonight. I watched him come in and walk into a pull-up three early in the shot clock. Like, that's just too much freedom for role players, and they should not have that much freedom and be allowed to do certain things, because they're probably not getting held accountable, or Brad probably won't scream at him, or he probably has just lost the locker room. And I'm not saying guys don't respect him. What I'm saying is that guys are not afraid of him. And at some point, as a coach, you got to have that fear and that respect to know that guys won't try you in certain situations.
That's losing them.
Yeah, maybe that's the same thing.
That's what I mean about him. He's confusing. He was kind of criticizing Tice.
I think that is Brad's style. That's one thing we talk about with Marcus Smart, right? It usually comes to him. He just tries to instill confidence. And he's like, I know who you are, but to get the most out of you, I'm going to instill confidence in you. You know, take that shot if you're wide open, Daniel Tice. Take that shot if Marcus Smart, if you're open. You know, Tristan, you get the ball underneath and there's two or three guys around you, go back up. Like, I trust you to do it. And maybe he just puts too much trust in these role players to give them too much freedom. Probably a complaint more for Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's lost the locker room. I don't think that the young guys.
How do you know
the
that,
young guys? Right? Listen, it's my opinion. Let me. No disclaimer needed, Ryan. I don't think he's lost the locker room. And the guys that he would be losing are too young to know any better, to know the difference. Okay, and then the other guys, Tristan Thompson's just along for the ride. He doesn't look like any leader. He's always been a role player.
Jeff Teague just sitting on the bench.
Okay, so the only guys are Jaylen Brown. I would say Jaylen Brown. Okay, and if you listen to Gary Washburn, who we just had on, he bites his tongue a lot. When he's angry or he wants to throw shade or make a point, all this stuff is cryptic. I'd rather him just come out and say it.
If you were Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum on this team, would you lose confidence or not listen to your coach? Are you mad at your coach? Because if I was them, I would be mad at my GM. That's who I'd be mad at. And the frustration would come out. It would just be like, you know, I get it. I mean, they can't be mad at Brad Stevens for putting Aaron Nesmith in down 10 late in the game to expect offense. They can't be mad at Brad for doing that. They're mad at Danny Ainge for putting Brad in a position that's his best option.
Because also that is the NBA. Hey, we're only going to win if we have some better players.
I mean, come on.
Okay, so I get it. So we're going to do this slow burn. We're going to do this thing where we're going to draft these guys and they're good, but now we're going to have to wait for them to develop. And in the meantime, we're just going to get by with what we have. But hey, listen, don't complain to me. You guys are all-stars. Like, don't look at me. You're an all-star.
And try to win at the same time while trying to figure out what half of our roster, what really three-quarters of our roster is while we're trying to win games.
Yeah, but there's the difference between being an all-star and being a superstar. And superstars, again, need to make all of the players on that team better. And even
is Rudy Gobert limited role a superstar? Players. Is Donovan Mitchell a superstar?
They're stars.
Okay, but they're not LeBron
There's
James.
Only four or five stars.
Okay,
yeah, but they hold on. But okay, they have a facilitator. Mike Conley again, is a legitimate point guard.
The finger needs to be squarely pointed to Danny Ainge. When we rip the Patriots, we don't sit there and talk about Bill the coach. We talk about Bill the GM. Like, how really? That's your quarterback. These are your weapons. These are the guys that are going to be playing defense. Okay, we know you're a great coach, but you're picking the groceries and you're doing all the shopping, and then you're making excuses about how you went all in.
Don't blame it on me, Chris.
Just not you you're directly. You, the GM. No, whoever the GM, whoever's wearing the GM hat at the time, that is who I'm blaming it on.
Yes. Listen,
I always question whether Brad Stevens could coach a team that gets to the championship level. One thing I think we all agree, he's pretty good at developing young players. He's done that. We've seen that over a long period of time. But now that you need to take them to the next level, is this an issue with him? Because he doesn't seem to be able to get them to respond. I don't know if he's lost the locker room or whatever, but they're not responding. And yeah, they're not responding against weak teams.
I think it's different. Who is it? The famously quoted as, you know, sometimes they just tune you out.
Winston Churchill.
Yes, Winston Churchill.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a great debate. No, the baseball manager for the Red Sox, Tito, wasn't that his biggest issue?
Francona.
Whoa. Wasn't that his big at the end? Okay, after winning, okay, after being there a long time, finally they had kind of tuned him out. This isn't Brad's issue. He's never won anything.
Well, that was like when Tito took over that team, he had a bunch of kids, you know, trying to make a name for themselves. Like when Tito, that last year, Josh Beckett wasn't a child anymore. Neither was Lester, neither was David. So they had changed. They had grown up. So whether the grown-ups stopped listening to, you know, to their coach or not, I don't think this roster is there yet to the point where Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are grown-ups in this league. You know, they're on their way. But I just don't think they're tuning out the coach.
I don't either.
I don't think they're playing hard. Yeah, I don't think they're tuning out the coach. I think they are realistic, and they look around, and they got nothing.
I think it's more than that. I think that's part of it, Lou. I think the other part of it
is they
don't know better. They still don't know better. They don't know how to deal with this stuff. Here's Eddie in a car who wants to talk about Brad Stevens. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, everybody's right. You guys are right about what you're saying. We're all right. Brad Stevens, you know, a few years ago, you know, when they first started, you know, when he first came in, his team overachieved. But I think we'd all agree that the last few years, we've expected more out of this team. And when you have, and not necessarily this year, but in the past, when you have a team that just doesn't seem to be able to get to the next level, and they've had teams that were good enough to win it all.
No, they haven't.
It just makes you start to wonder. It makes you wonder if this guy maybe isn't. It makes you wonder if they're just not listening to him anymore.
Well, Eddie,
that's what happens when a coach loses the team. Yes.
What team did they have that was good enough to win it all?
There was a team a couple of years ago. I don't follow them as much as I used to, but when they went to the Eastern Conference Finals,
they had no
they
chance
should
of
have
the championship.
Went to the finals.
No, they
without
no,
the they year without Kyrie and Hayward.
Agree.
The year that LeBron beat them in Game 6.
I agree.
I mean, they had no Kyrie. They had no Gordon Hayward. Like,
they had no chance.
He's never had a team that's been good enough to win it all.
There have been overachievers. He has created overachieving teams. And now you're playing at a different level, and they're not succeeding at this level. Here's John in Connecticut next up on OMF. Hi, John.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. Watching the game last night with nothing else on, I had no choice. Get inside a minute to go. I think the score is 105-104 Boston. And Doncic has the ball. Jaylen has him locked down at the top of the three-point arc. Left, right, left, right. Tice slides up and in for whatever reason, blocking Jaylen out. Now he's got to take him. He knocks down a three. Okay. Boston goes down quick, too. They come out of the timeout. Who in their right mind is putting – why is Kemba on the floor, number one, defensive? Number two, why isn't Jaylen on Doncic?
Well, he was.
But their system.
No, he wasn't.
What are you talking about?
They switched off to pick.
They set up a pick and roll for him.
They switched, and they got Kemba on him.
About it with Jalen is, I can honestly see Jalen at the end of the year saying, like Carton and all these other guys, I've had enough of this. Get me out of here. I can see it happening. Yeah. You can
see it in him. It's the NBA mentality when you can't
succeed. You're a few years away from that.
Yeah.
When years go quickly, you are a few years away from that.
If I can, in the last play of the game, with Tatum with the ball on the sideline, Time Warner, whatever you want to call him, is standing by himself at the rim, and Tatum's not getting in the ball. The only play in the game right there is a cop. You can't catch and shoot. I'm like, why didn't he throw it? Then he throws it to him.
Because they were down three. It was impossible to get a shot off. He just basically threw it away.
He threw the ball into Taco at the end.
With 0.1 second to go. Like
it useless.
All you could do with 0.1 second is get a tip in. Right. They couldn't get a shot off.
Lou, you're saying an alley-oop down three is a bad idea?
Yeah, yes. But you couldn't. They already said it. They don't have time. Like the game's over. You don't have time to take a shot.
You need 0.3 to take a shot. So the only
you wouldn't
thing
even
you,
covered either because they were right. given points.
The only thing you could do.
I mean,
that's
I'm just
right.
Saying.
It was a two. The only thing you could do is throw it above the rim and have Taco drop it through, and then hope that somebody is stupid enough to foul Taco. Right.
That's why he was all alone.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Dumb
details. Yeah. What's wrong with the details? All right. We'll give you the latest details on what's going on with Tiger Woods and the way the media has been dealing with it. It's been like nonstop coverage. They're still probably covering it out there in those LA TV stations, Christian, on a minute-by-minute basis. We'll get to all of that. We got an apology of the day coming up today as well.
Got to get guys off the shooter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get social. Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
Today at 7:12 in the morning, Lomita Sheriff Station received a call of a solo vehicle collision in Hawthorne Boulevard, north of Palos Verdes Drive. We arrived on scene at 7:18 a.m. and discovered the solo vehicle collision, and the sole occupant was, again, Tiger Woods. And deputies, at the time, they did not see any evidence of impairment, anything that of concern. Obviously, the life-saving measures, they had to be taken.
That is L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva giving you details.
The tackle for the Steelers?
Very close. We've also heard from the chief medical officer over at Harbor UCLA Medical Center. Have you guys seen some of the details of this thing? Numerous breaks. Two of them came through the skin, shattered the ankle, rods, screws, everything put in there, and then additional surgical release of the covering of the muscle to relieve pressure due to swelling, which doctors, and they've been all over TV last night and this morning, are claiming is a real problem for a guy who's a professional athlete. But this seems like, and this is apparently just the start, there might be more surgeries down the road. He's really beaten up in this thing.
So my takeaway from that sound was the fact that he said that there was no signs of impairment. So I know they said earlier there was no alcohol. So at the scene, there was no signs of impairment.
It doesn't mean it wasn't in his system.
Right. It doesn't mean that they've got blood work back or they know anything that was part of this crash. Reasons for the crash. They have no idea why right now. Right?
Well, just to add to that, so no criminal charges. No criminal charges, okay? They're just saying it was an accident. No big deal. It was an accident. And a drug expert was not called to the scene. So, you're talking, you're fine, okay. So it's you're coherent. We're talking back and forth. I'm looking at your pupils. I've been here many times before. You're not drunk. So there's no toxicology report or anything like that.
Not yet. But how about this one, though? Because this was the L.A. Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, right? Listen to what he said here. You tell me.
Well, at the time it made, it crossed the center divider to the point that it rested was several hundred feet away. So obviously that indicates they were going at a relatively a greater speed than normal. However, because it is downhill, it slopes, and it also the curves, that area has a high frequency of accidents. It's not uncommon.
Any skid marks or anything that you tried to break or stop?
No skid marks, no braking. So apparently the first contact was with the center median, and from there then cross into the opposing lane of traffic, hit the curb, hit a tree, and there was several rollovers during that process.
So I would say that's a problem. That is a red flag.
Well, I mean, listen, I know because there's a lot of assumptions out there right now, right, about what happened. How did this thing occur? But when you hear that there was no skid marks, no brakes.
Right.
So you tell me, I mean, if you lose control of your car, you go over median, you bang into some whatever, there's a median, there was some wood that was left over there, you saw some pictures of it, go across the other street, go down another 100 feet or so where the car ended up, and there's no skid marks.
He had no response. So in other words, this thing was unfolding.
He wasn't awake.
He was going, right, he was going into the other lane. Thank God there wasn't a car coming or it would have been a head-on crash. He, by the fact that there's no braking, no skid marks.
No braking.
He was not responding to it. So if he did not have some type of medication in his system, Lou, he had to have fallen asleep. That would be the only other reason, right?
Well, so
why would you not react to it?
See, so let me go back a little, because Lou and I, we were discussing this, okay? We're playing detective, okay?
Good. I like it.
He was Sherlock, I was Holmes. And we were trying to figure out what the hell was going on. Yeah, sure. That's what we were doing. CSI Boston, okay?
Sherlock. Glenn Watson.
Okay. it was funny because, all right, so it's early in the morning, okay? I'm driving to an appointment. I'm not leaving the club. It's not me staying up on a whole night bender, drinking and carrying on, trying to find the nearest Waffle House. I just got up, already went to another appointment. Now I'm going to another one at 7:15. Would I ever at that point in time find myself in a place where I was tired after getting a full night's sleep and already being up? Is that when I would fall asleep? And my answer was no. My answer would be hell no, unless something was causing me to get sleepy. Unless I had taken something that one of the side effects was, drowsiness.
Well, you heard the report from the hotel, right? How he was parked out front. DMZ right? Had the report. He was kind of blocked in and then sped off when he could kind of get freed up. And
okay,
he
so he's late.
He almost hit a car.
He's late. I'm late.
You have a 7:15 shoot, whatever this thing is that they're doing with others.
For Golf TV.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're up at whatever, 6:30. It's like people are like, well, he just fell asleep. At 7:15 in the morning? Like, do you ever get up at like 6:30, be on the road at 7 and fall asleep?
Yeah,
like, you fall asleep maybe on, like, a driving on a Sunday afternoon or something, like 3 o'clock, you might get a little tired sometimes. Or late at night, right? If you whatever. But 7:15 in the morning?
Hold on. So this goes back to your point, Glenn, no skid marks. So if there's no skid marks and you hit that center median, then at what point in time do you actually realize that, oh, my God, I'm on the other side. I'm going against the traffic. Because if you were up and it was just an accident and you were suddenly found yourself veering into oncoming traffic, I would assume you would hit the brakes.
Yeah.
Unless you were falling asleep and you didn't realize it until you hit the curb on the opposite side. And even if you hit the center median, you're going 65 miles an hour. Let's just call it that. I mean, in half of a second, you're across the street, and next thing you know, you're in the woods. So you don't have time to hit the brakes because you just realize that, bam, now I'm in the woods.
It's 7:15 in the morning. You hit a median, you went across the street, and then about 100 feet, 150, 200 feet down the road, your car ended up. And there's no skid marks. That's all. I mean, there's no brakes. Now, apparently, this was L.A. Crimes, Richard Winston, I guess, on Facebook Live.
L.A. Times.
L.A. Times. He said that... he's talking about Alex Villanueva, said there'd be no criminal charges. This is interesting. The stretch of the road where Tuesday's wreck occurred has been the scene of 13 accidents, including 4 injuries since last January.
No, there was an accident at the same time that he got into an accident right down the street. There was a second accident right down the street at the same time.
I just think the brakes, because people say, well, maybe he's driving. Tyler, I think you said it yesterday, that the sun, rise, whatever. I don't know, the road, the direction of the road, or the sun's right in his eyes. But you're driving and the sun blinds you and you hit a median. Don't you hit the brakes?
Yes.
You'd think so, but yeah.
Slow down.
But it all depends on, we're all traffic cops now. We're all got our tape measures out. But I think if you've ever been in some sort of wreck where you're going, let's say you're going 65, 70 miles an hour, by the time you realize it, it's too late.
Well, you hit the first median. You saw the wood on the floor. Like, he hit something. And then kept going through this two-lane road. No brakes after you hit something. And you're awake. Once you hit something, don't you hit the brakes on the other side of the road?
Yeah, but I tell you what, you're hitting the brakes if you're awake.
But this sheds some light on just the ultimate, the otherwise
maybe a dangerous
situation.
Spot.
Maybe it's just he's just a victim of circumstance. And there is nothing, because obviously, based on his history, everybody leads to he was taking something, made him sleepy, and that's why he went up across the street into the woods.
And unfortunately, that's fair. He's fair game when it comes to that, because there has been a history of stuff in the past, right? He hit the hydrant in the front of his house. Remember when he had the fight with his wife?
And then, well, that was different. He was also trying to get the hell out of the house.
He's attacking the car with a golf club.
A little different.
Well, you got to go to the one. Right, and that one, right. There's no question.
When he got pulled over and they had the video, the police cam on him, and he was just
frightening.
Yeah, he was just gone. Different world.
So this is where some of the media probably got a little bit out of control. So here's Britt McHenry on Fox News talking about this accident being reminiscent to Kobe's death in a helicopter crash.
You know, we all are hoping for and praying for the best case scenario, but you know, it's reminiscent of starting 2020 off when we lost Kobe Bryant, one of the basketball greats.
She wasn't alone in comparing the two. Here's the difference, because it was both of them were accidents. One, the person died and died instantly, and we knew it right off the bat.
Okay, but hold on.
In this one, we already heard there were no life-threatening injuries.
But to be fair, okay, to be fair, okay?
Because you are fair.
A damsel in distress, okay? You guys picking on this poor girl. I'm gonna support her.
It's got nothing to do with the gender.
That's what it's all about, gender for you. Picking on the girls. I think we're at the anniversary of Kobe Bryant's death, and I remember, like, when you first heard about a plane wrecking, helicopter crash, and Kobe Bryant, nobody thought death. And you just see, until maybe five minutes later, you saw the records, you're like, there's no way he's surviving, and then it was confirmed. Yeah, I was thinking something similar. Oh my God, this dude, like, crashed his car, okay, and they're talking about the jaws of life?
No, I think it happened the opposite way, that people died in a helicopter crash.
Okay, well, you heard it one way, I heard another way.
Kobe was one of the passengers.
You shouldn't be picking on Britt McHenry for her emotional reaction to hearing about Tiger Woods in a car wreck.
She wasn't alone. A lot of people did this.
The biggest shock was that Kobe was, you know, you sat there, I can't believe Kobe's dead.
Right.
But, you know, that kind of hit, that stuck with you all day long. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't believe he's dead. Like, not like in an accident, broken legs, like here with Tiger, you know, when it was completely different emotion. Completely different.
Again, another bully in the bunch. You are a sexist.
No, we can pick on guys if you want.
We got guys we can pick on? I don't believe it. Good. No guy would be as dumb as that.
Here is CNN sports analyst Andy Scholes, not surprised at the Tiger accident.
Stunned, I guess, but not entirely surprised by, you know, what we're seeing here. You know, Tiger back in 2017 was found by police, pulled over the side of the road, you know, asleep in his car. You know, he had said he had taken a lot of painkillers at that time, because we all know Tiger's undergone a lot of surgeries over the years, and painkillers have become a part of his life.
Andy's in trouble, and Andy has already apologized for those comments. Hopefully the apology will be enough, because if not, they will cancel him. Because he brought up the painkiller
addiction. What's wrong with that?
I think that's fair game. We just talked about
Is he apologizing because the timing of it? Maybe. But, I mean, who isn't thinking that? Like, you know, I mean, maybe he said, I'm not surprised by it, but he could have worded it differently.
It's fair game
when
we know.
Well, you know, when you think of it, we did it yesterday. The guy just had back surgery. He's recovering. He looked like crap at the interview with the Genesis. We know what happened last time. You know, like he admitted in his documentary talking about, because of back surgery, he got locked in on painkillers. And you just, your head goes right there, right?
I tell you what,
everyone's did.
I'm going to go get myself one of those Genesis cars,
I was
going to
say, they're the winner in
that
all
sucker.
Of this.
That, all those airbags that blew up and that saved his ass, I mean, that's amazing.
They're claiming that the Genesis, the way it was built, really was protective of him. He did have the seatbelt on. So I agree with you, Christian. They're the big winners on this. Greg Gutfeld on Fox News. Apparently, he tied it in with a family situation in December.
attention to this disaster is entirely fitting, Dana.
He's not dead, Geraldo. We are talking like he passed away. He escaped death. So did the people in his vicinity. He lost control of his car before he hit anything. He should consider himself very lucky to be alive, and he should consider himself very lucky that he didn't hurt anybody else, even if it wasn't his fault. Nobody else got hurt. We have a challenge of doing this show, wall-to-wall stuff, having to avoid unspeakable truths and instead do this kind of repetitive salutation and grand Jeez. Pronouncements. Let's at least inject a little bit of sobriety and honesty into this thing. My father-in-law died in his car on Christmas Eve. He wasn't a world-famous golfer, but you know what? He was a great man, and I'm glad I said it.
What?
I'm sure Tiger Woods is happy to be alive. And
I'm lost on this.
Well,
one.
Why? I think he was okay. The screaming of the issue was a little too much. I think this one is emotional because he just lost his father-in-law, and I don't know what happened in that.
Well, exactly. It sounds to me like a guy that maybe his father-in-law lost to somebody who was drunk driving.
Yeah.
Lost
exactly.
His life. Or has
maybe
an experience.
You bring that up in your tirade about he's could've. Not dead, so everybody calm the hell down.
You absolutely could have, but maybe there are people out there that are like, you know, that have past experience that have lost someone because of a drunk driver that have zero sympathy, that could give Correct. A rat's ass about him, Correct. You know, and that he's lucky he didn't kill somebody because I lost somebody close to me because of an a-hole like this guy.
Yeah, they're looking at it and saying he was irresponsible.
Yeah.
And yeah, I could see that. And I think that's what happened here because he just went off the deep end.
Usually, he's not dead, Geraldo.
Usually Gutfeld tries to be cute, funny, stuff like that. That's his shtick. And in this case, boy, he was angry.
Yeah, way too personal.
Yeah, he was annoyed by like the amount of coverage that all these stations were giving it for a guy who didn't have life-threatening injuries.
Yes.
Well, the reason they're getting all the coverage is we know we're a celebrity society. I mean, that's
it's
what
Tiger freaking Woods.
Yeah, he's the greatest golfer of all time.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
Go to Dave for me real quick, Glenn. I just want to see because if I'm going to be wrong about my CSI analysis and my investigative reporting, I would at least want someone in law enforcement to kind of check me a little bit. So go to Dave.
Do we get his credentials beforehand? Here's Dave.
Yeah, Dave, I need your credentials, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, guy. Hey, I did 28 years in law enforcement. I've been to accidents like that. I was a detective in the end, but everybody works overtime. You go to accidents like that, and to be honest with you, when you have speed involved in an accident like that, and forever whatever reason, you know, my speculation would be he might have been throwing a text out there, and he looks up, and when you hit, and he's in a hurry, he's behind schedule, he's got people probably calling him or bugging him. When you hit something like that, first of all, the first thing, your car is out of control. You can't brake. You're thrashing. You're getting thrashed around this car. How are you going to put your foot on the brake? That's the reason why there's no skid marks, because he hit that curve or that medium divider so fast. Speed obviously was a factor because it spun and he flipped and he ended way, way down the other side of the road. But as far as speculating on whether he was doing drugs or, you know, it's just really, it's kind of silly at this point. He was the basic accident was
Well, listen, I actually think
he brings up a good point.
It's an excellent point.
Yeah, it could very well be texting, but I'm sorry, that doesn't bail him out in this. If anything, that's a bigger issue. You shouldn't be texting.
Well, you think
you're putting other people in lives in jeopardy.
It's unfair to go there. I think unfortunately, sometimes you make your own bed. Like, is it unfair because this is kind of what had happened to him in the past? He talked about it on his own documentary. You know, how he got involved with painkillers and how he was in a bad place. I'm not sure it is unfair. And, like, you know, we are speculating, but I don't know. Did they say that this accident occurred just because he was speeding, like Dave just said?
No, well, but I like
so he's kind of speculating.
So think about it,
right?
So he's, you already know that road is everybody's speeding and it's a downhill incline and everybody's going way too fast. And if you do look down at your phone for a second, maybe it's too. You are late. Maybe you're sending a text. Hey, I'm going to be. Whoa.
Thing? Yeah, sure.
Okay. Then you're going 65, 70 miles an hour. I mean, listen, I've texted, a couple times when I've been driving and I've been and put myself in a terrible situation. I would say don't ever do it. Yeah, that is a shame, Bell. It's one of the most dangerous things you can do.
Why don't you use the
my
Siri
point
on
is
the phone.
That every now and then, like, it happens, you know, and. I would say That is my reason. If I'm going to go with anything, I'm taking drugs out of it. I'm going with texting and driving.
Well, Lou's right, though. The reason people are bringing drugs into it is not only is there a past, a recent past, but he was at the golf tournament interviewed this weekend, and he's talking about coming off of back surgery. So what are you taking right now if you are recovering from back surgery?
I know, but
You're taking the medication.
I know, but to me, so like, I don't know, you pick your poison. Like, I would say, of course, Glenn, of course you shouldn't drive drunk. Hello, I'm saying no to that. I'm saying yes to texting and driving.
Yeah, but that's still bad.
It's out of the frying pan into the fire.
Is it against the law in California?
Yes.
It is in Massachusetts.
You can't you can't talk on your phone in California. You can't, it has to be hands-free.
Right.
So
then it should be. And the texting the same way. It's a good point, though. And it may very well be texting. All right, 617-779-7937. What happened to Tiger Woods? And the 49ers today have given us a little bit more of an indication as to what they're going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. We will get to it and the Patriots quarterback situation coming up next.